want to take us on a little side quest.
Goku's one of the greatest anime heroes of all time. He's badass. He's awesome.
Dude, hands down, Final Fantasy VII wins every day.
How could you not love the Mario Brothers movie?
RoboCop kicks everyone else's ass.
And that's why Superman sucks.
Oh, the Velociraptors kick ass in Jurassic Park every single day.
Yep, went on a bit of a rant there, huh? Engage.
What was that noise, Tommy? That was choking on something there.
Sorry.
Welcome everybody to the SideQuest podcast. I know we've been missing the past few weeks. Old Uncle Eric couldn't make it, and still won't release the forbidden episode that we recorded. He just won't post it. I know Justin and I wanna get that bad boy up for you guys because it's something.
It's a doozy, man. It's hilarious as well. It is a little hard to follow, but it's hilarious.
Eric won't he won't post it. So
didn't know there was a forbidden episode.
What?
Didn't know there was a forbidden episode.
Eric, we recorded it 3 weeks ago.
Eric had a single truly.
Yeah, he had one, and then apparently that was enough to derail the whole show. And it is it's fun. But anyway, we're back this week, obviously. Eric is gone yet again, and Justin is out of town for work the next week and a half, so we won't hear him for the next 2 weeks. So I have two new co-hosts, the angry gym teacher, fleeing machine, Megatron, the whole thing. He's here with us today, and we have Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Dave.
Hey, so, guys, how are we all doing? How's your end of the summers? How's dealing with that? Is everything good? Tommy, I know you're back teaching again, so that's got to be fun.
Back teaching, and my kids had their first day of preschool today.
Okay.
And they were supposed to go back on Tuesday, but they both woke up with the sniffles, and we didn't want to be those parents that sends sick kids on the first day of school and gets everyone sick. So we kept them home, and they went today. And it went great, except my one son kept getting up from his table because he just wanted to play. He did not care what the teacher had to say. He just wanted to go play with the dinosaurs. So,
well, he's a young Alan Grant. So,
yep, he is. Literally, he dressed up as Alan Grant for Halloween a couple of years ago.
That's awesome.
I was in charge of the costumes that year.
I watched Dominion 2 days ago, and it was pretty awful.
I heard it was terrible.
I mean, the OG cast was really cool. Their little scenes from when they're in it was fun to watch, but everything else, I don't know who wrote that, but shame on
them. I would like to just watch their scenes if there was a way to just see a compilation.
And their scenes are great. I mean, Jeff Goldblum is basically Jeff Goldblum the entire time. Alan Grant and what's her face, they're all great. And they had a nice closure to them at least, so. The rest of the movie is just a train wreck.
I'm sure I'll watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it because it's the end of the thing. And you got to support the OG cast. But outside of that, give it a watch. But do something else while you're watching it because you don't want to waste all your time. I know we could talk about Jurassic Park all day. But today, as Tommy pointed out yesterday, is Star Trek Day. So we are going to go jump in, and it's Star Trek Day when we're recording this. Obviously, it's not today on Friday, but we're going to jump
the day
into
after Star Trek Day,
our what do you call it? Our first main quest? Yeah?
Yeah. Can I just point something out?
Yeah.
I just point something out. So this is a hallmark Star Trek Day. All Star Trek fans know that the real day to celebrate is First Contact Day, which is in April, correct? Am I right on that, Dave?
Oh, absolutely.
With me on that. Right. Yeah. So, this is a hallmark day. This is like, their Paramount is releasing some, trailers and stuff for Star Trek. So it's still fun. We're still going to celebrate. But let's just be clear that, the real Star Trek parties happen in April.
Okay.
Absolutely. Do you remember, Tommy, when we celebrated Leonard Nimoy's life?
Yeah.
That was fun. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't didn't do the same for Ahura when she passed away. It was a little sad. Especially, we're going to miss her dances, aren't we?
The day Leonard Nimoy passed away, I think Dave called me, or I called him. It was like, we have to be with each other right now. And we got together. Dave came over to my house. We watched, I think, Star Trek 2, right? And we drank Romulan ale. Yes. We drank Romulan ale. It was a... we made it up. It was something that we made that was blue. I think we put blue food coloring in it to make it look like Romulan ale. But we had some beverages and watched one of Leonard Nimoy's greatest films of all time.
Yeah, Jeff, you'll get a kick out of this. The straws that we used were Star Wars straws, though.
Oh shit!
I had a little Darth Vader. I had a little Darth Vader on my straw.
I don't remember that. We fucked that one up.
I still have it. So.
Now, Tommy, are you more of a Star Trek fan or Star Wars fan? See, it's always bounced back and forth with you since we grew up.
I love both. I appreciate both. Both are amazing. I think I got into Star Trek more in my adult years. I was always a Star Wars fan ever since I was a tiny little baby boy. So I guess I would lean more towards Star Trek now. But I mean, I just soak it all up. I watch it all. I love it all. It's all great.
So we'll start with you, and then we'll move over to Dave. But what makes Star Trek for you? At least, I'm not sure about the new stuff, but what made the old stuff Star Trek to you?
So I got into Star Trek not actually... Well, okay. So when I was a kid, my dad used to take me to see the Star Trek films when they came out, the Next Generation movies. Because my dad really wanted to see them, and so he took me along, and I liked them. I liked the spaceships, you know, and the cool visuals, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't really get into Star Trek myself until college, believe it or not. And what I would do is I would wake up every morning, and I would take my nice little Adderall pill, and I would pour myself a cup of coffee, because nobody told me you're not supposed to combine Adderall and coffee. I bet you didn't know this was going to be a story about drugs.
No.
And I would sit down on the couch, and I would put on an episode of the original series, Star Trek, and boy, did I get into it. I would just sit there with this huge grin on my face, just soaking it in, like the writing and the acting and how good it was. And this went on every morning, my sophomore or junior year of college in my little apartment down at ISU. And I eventually switched over to... Enterprise, Next Generation. I just couldn't get enough, like, every single series. The only series I never really got into was Deep Space Nine. I know, Jeff, you're a big fan of Deep Space Nine, but just to this day, a little boring for me, I'm going to be honest. I know it gets better. You always say it gets better later on, later seasons, but I just don't. It's, you know, it's kind of a chore to watch that one for me.
What is it about Star Trek that you love, though? Not just, okay, I get you grew up on it, but what is it about the show?
I'm just a huge science fiction nerd, and I love also just the idea of this future where everyone is kind of just united and we're all seeking out exploration in the galaxy, and it's peaceful and we have this amazing technology. I love what Star Trek represents. Like, it represents the potential of mankind to go and do these amazing things, which of course is probably never going to happen, because in real life mankind is a bunch of shitheads. We all kind of suck. But Star Trek represents what we could be. Right. Yeah. Star Trek represents what we could be if we all would just put our petty differences aside and, you know, go out and explore the galaxy. It's like a fantasy world. When I'm watching, I like to just kind of get soaked into it and just imagine, like, wow, this is the future. Even though it's probably not.
Oh, that's a difficult one there, because I've been watching it a lot longer than I can remember. But my dad was a big Star Trek fan, and he always had the Next Generation on when it was on. And he grew up with the original Star Trek cast and watched that every day. So it kind of just grew on me when I was little. I watched all the Next Generation episodes when they came on. Super excited when Voyager came on. I remember when Enterprise came on in the 2000s, and it was all great. I loved it all. The new shows, I watched the first three seasons of Discovery and loved them. the new what's the newest one with the Enterprise
Strange
again?
New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds. I watched the first season of that. I love it. Not a big fan I'm not a big fan of the Kirk actor, but
I'm not either, Dave. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh man, he's just like he's a skinny little stick. I just don't like him. He needs to be a exactly. He might grow on us though. I'll give him time. I'll give him time.
Of course.
But you know, I've watched it all, and I'm your question to Tommy, Star Trek versus Star Wars. I like both of them too, but I am definitely more grounded in reality, and it's more. I like the more science fiction than the science fantasy. So it's always been a. As an engineer, it's always been more grounded in reality to me, even though it's still a far out there reality. So, but
I think for myself, it was. I mean, I was always hardcore Star Wars, and I still am, and always will be, because that's what I was first exposed to by my older brother. Who then, later years, he introduced me to Star Trek, but I had a real bad taste of it in my mouth when I first saw it because my older brother Brandon we'd sit on the couch and he'd do this stupid annoying thing where he'd sit on a channel and when it went to commercial, he'd go to some other show and then I'd always be like, you're gonna miss it. It's gonna start with, and he's like, no, I got it down pat. I'll just get back to it before it starts. And he used to do that with Next Generation all the time. And I remember just getting so annoyed. He was in the family room doing Next Generation. I'm like, I'm not even going to sit there and try to watch this stupid show with him as he goes back and forth. And then it wasn't really till college that I watched TNG, Next Generation, because one of the guys in the dorm had the full box set. And I was like, all right, let's do it. This was before streaming, you know, since we're all old now. But watched that, loved it, and then I watched Deep Space Nine probably a few years later once you could stream that one, and that I was super hooked on. But again, it's the whole, like both of you said, it's the whole, you know, can humankind be this awesome, you know, joined together thing? Probably not, because, I don't know, unless aliens show up and then we all unite because of that. But it does have the potential. And unlike Star Wars, which is just giant battles or Battlestar Galactica or any of those sci-fis, it's more like sometimes it's moral issues that they deal with. I know, and I think TNG really hit that on the head with Picard opposed to, you know, Kirk, who's more just this hotshot. Picard was more philosophical in the ways he dealt with other races and finding different solutions than just going in and blowing shit up.
Yeah.
Or trying to save the planet, but then trying to figure out why they won't leave the planet, even though it's about to explode, or you know, things like that. But they always found cool science ways of fixing things. And TNG, for the most part, is outside of episodes, like an arc. You can just watch an episode and it's all contained in one, which I heard Strange New Worlds tries to do more, go back to that style.
Yeah, they're more episodic.
Deep Space Nine, toward the last two seasons with the Dominion War, it just was this continuing progression story that kind of TV went at that point. But I think the original Star Trek and Next Generation do those just contained episodes. So that's, you know, that's why I love it. And I still do. And I love all the OG Star Trek stuff. I haven't watched a lot of the new stuff, which I kind of want to swing to now. I've watched a bit of Discovery. I haven't watched Picard. I haven't watched Strange New Worlds. Dave, I know you watched this animated one you really like, Below Deck.
Oh, Lower Deck is hilarious.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, both of you, on, you know, we'll start with Dave on this, then move to Tommy. But what are your thoughts on the new Star Trek now? Is it, you know, a lot of people I at least see on Reddit is that the Orville is kind of picking up what Star Trek used to be, and these new shows just aren't really living up to it, or they're just they're not holding the torch quite well. I don't. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Well, I actually love that you brought the Orville up, because I have it up on my IMDb right now because of what you guys were talking about. I love the Orville. I think they do a great job at the story for it.
Yeah, and for people and who don't know, it's Seth MacFarlane's kind of version of Star Trek. He started with humor, but I think he's turned it into more of what TNG was. And he's a huge Star Trek fan, so.
Oh yeah, he was sick and tired of what you guys were saying earlier is this long story across the entire season, and back to the small. You can watch one episode and not have to watch another, which is where the Orville originally started. It's kind of got into a longer story, but as you guys were talking about human sucking. This season, past season in the Orville, it goes into detail on how replicators, the things that can make food and equipment and stuff out of nothing, changed how the human condition was when you didn't have to worry about stuff anymore. And the actor that plays Kelly Grayson gave a speech. By the way, super hot, I think.
Adrian Palicki, your name?
Yeah. So if she ever hears this, reach out to me. If you're not married, I don't know if she's married or not, but
I'm sure
there you go, Dave. He's put himself
right now.
Yes. But
she just stood up out of her seat and was like, "What?"
Let me take another sip of that and go from there. But she does a good speech in one of the last episodes of the season, or second to last episode of the season, how gave a better explanation on how the society evolved to the point where Star Trek kind of takes place. I think she does a pretty good job. If you haven't heard it, I'd recommend. I think it's either the last episode or second to last episode of the current season for the Orville. But
yeah, what's really neat, what you bring up there real quick, I'll kind of side quest this, but there is an episode of TNG with, what's his, Barkley? Do you both know who he is?
Yeah.
I loved his character. He used to be on the A-Team too, but I loved his character because I felt like he was more of what an actual human would do with all this stuff. And he became addicted to like the holodeck, and he just was terrified of getting in the transporter because he's like, I don't want to be broken down. What if I am not the same person when I go back? It seemed like he was more like logical, or at least what we would see this stuff as now. Because if we had holodecks right now, no one's leaving. No one's going outside ever again. But it's interesting how Star Trek kind of glossed over some of those things that, people would get highly addicted to a lot of these, you know, technologies that they brought. So how do people, you know, basically go to work when you can just go on a holodeck and live your whole life there?
The Orville does. Yeah. The Orville has an episode, I think it's in the first season, where one of the bridge officers gets addicted to holodeck porn. and that's what I love about the Orville, at least the first couple seasons, was they would do episodes like that Star Trek would never touch on, but
and they do wonder, of course, that's
what people would use the holodeck for, like, obviously.
But they do that in Deep Space Nine, which is why I like it. They do a lot more with these other alien races who, are scanning one of the bridge officers and then putting her basically in this porn holodeck thing that's in the Ferengi bar, and, you know, the human crew's like, you can't do that. And he's like, well, this is a Ferengi bar, so we can do basically whatever we want. And it deals with more of these issues with alien races coming in and out of the station that's run by, you know, run by
humans, the Federation,
but they have to deal with different cultures differently than, say, a starship does, where they can just kind of bounce around. But anyway, back to you, Dave, real quick, and then we'll have Tommy go. But what are your thoughts on the new stuff?
I like the new stuff. The Discovery, like I said, I watched the first three seasons. I really enjoyed that. It was definitely more action than the original stuff back in the 2000s and the 90s and the 70s. Hopefully I got those decades right, Tommy. I kind of lost interest in the when they went to the future. No, sorry, spoiler. Should have had that ahead of time. So I haven't watched the latest season. Picard, they're grasping. I hate to say it, but they're grasping. Patrick Stewart's just too old. I love you, Patrick, but it's you're hobbling around on set, and to be in trying to be an action star that they're trying to portray you at, it's just too much. Now for the newest one, the Strange New Worlds, like Tommy said, they're trying to get back to the original, and I love it. Every episode I liked. Not a big fan of, like I said before, who they picked out for Kirk, but besides that, it's been awesome. For the animated stuff, there's two new animated shows. There's one that is the Prodigy, Star Trek Prodigy. I like it. It's a kid's show. It's made for Nickelodeon, I believe, or at least it's a Nickelodeon production. It's really good for the target audience. And then there's Lower Deck, which is a raunchy, R-rated, hilarious cartoon. I wouldn't say similar to Rick and Morty, but it's pushing Rick and Morty type humor. If you like Rick and Morty, I think you'll probably like Lower Deck.
All right, Tommy, what about you? The new stuff?
Love it all. I don't watch the animated stuff. I don't watch animated stuff unless I'm watching it with my kids, which means the Buzz Lightyear movie. We've watched that about 24 times. But I would love for them to get into animated Star Trek. I will definitely watch that with them if they ever take an interest in it. But as far as the new stuff, I love Discovery. Discovery has its ups and downs. It's not a perfect show, but it does introduce some new forms of like Star Trek writing that is definitely different from classic Trek. It's more, you know, there's this whole saga throughout the season. It's definitely not episodic where you can just watch an episode. It's like you get 9 or 10 episodes and there's this whole drama spread out throughout the whole thing. But there's
the one where the Klingons didn't have facial hair or anything.
The Klingons in Discovery are very different. They're definitely better than like the Klingons that
but
we saw.
Did they fix them though by like the third season or something? They get their hair back and everything.
Yeah, they just look different, and there was a lot of complaints about that. But I personally liked it. What Discovery does really well is they do a lot of callbacks to the original series that you wouldn't necessarily appreciate unless you were like a lifelong Star Trek. Like there's an episode, I think it's in season 3 or season 4, that features the Guardian of Forever, which was a classic original. Yes. That, and I watched that scene over and over again. I got goosebumps watching that. And it's just stuff that you wouldn't necessarily appreciate unless you were a fan of the original series. So they do all these callbacks, but then they also introduce these amazing new characters like Saru, who's one of my favorite characters in all of Star Trek. The main character, the protagonist, Michael Burnham, she's all right. She's good. The actress is amazing. The character herself is, you know, kind of annoying at times. But overall good. But then they also have like comic relief, which is new for Star Trek. That's something that you never really had. I mean, you had Quark, I guess, in Deep Space Nine, and the guy that you were just talking about, Jeff from Next Generation, who was a big doofus who was afraid of the transporters. You never really had like true comic relief characters. And Discovery has Ensign Tilly. They have Tig Notaro, who's a famous comedian who's hilarious, who plays an engineer in Discovery. Love her. So overall, it's a great show. It's not perfect. There's some boring moments. This last season, I wasn't super thrilled with. But overall, love it. With Picard, Dave kind of hit the nail on the head with Picard. It's a thrill to watch Patrick Stewart and all these characters reprise their roles. But the plot of Picard is kind of boring, I'm going to be totally honest. This last season, though, season 2, they did some really cool stuff with the Borg that we haven't seen before. And this last season that they just released a trailer for today, season 3, they're bringing basically the entire Next Generation crew back together again, which is going to be fun to watch. I'm not going to get my hopes up as far as if it's going to be a really good, you know, well-written season, but just watching all of them together again, I mean,
so
holy
Wesley
shit.
Wesley will be back.
How could you not watch? And Wesley was in season 2, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Showed up right at the end. Kind of a stupid deal that they brought him in on, but
I think they fit it in well.
I wish as well as you can series, because Worf really shines in Deep Space Nine. He really shines in that, and he really
bringing Worf back with the he's gonna have a white facial hair, white eyebrows. You know, they aged him a bit, and he's coming back along with Jordy and everyone who's not dead. So, yeah.
All right.
And then Strange New World is amazing. Strange New World is just so freaking good. And Dave mentioned this, but the actor that they got to play Kirk is just a little boring, a little underwhelmed with him. He was no Chris Pine, who I thought was amazing as Kirk in the movies, yeah, the J.J. Abrams movies.
Chris Pine's
We'll give him a chance. We'll see.
Chris Pine's got that. I don't know if you saw the trailer for some Dungeons and Dragons movie that looks absolutely hysterical. And he's in it.
I did not see that.
You should watch the trailer. It's funny as hell. And his character is like the bard, and he just runs around with like this little flute thing. And oh, it looks ridiculous, but in like a very good way. So it's good to see him doing something fun.
Chris Pine has some shit going down right now, which I have not been on top of. But did you see the clip where Harry Styles spits on him?
No.
Like real life, not in a film. Like they're sitting next to each other at some real life event, not in a movie. And Harry Styles, it looks like he literally leans over and spits on Chris Pine's lap.
Is this that video that they're comparing to the Will Smith slap?
Apparently there was some not like drama where Harry Styles is just a big giant dumbass. I don't know anything about the guy. I'm sure he's very talented, but he was like talking about this movie that they were in together, and this cameraman zoomed in on Chris Pine's face, and he's just completely zoning out, just looking like he's miserable, listening to Harry Styles' dumb voice talk about God knows what. And this clip went viral, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, look at Chris Pine trying to listen to Harry Styles. And then like a day or two later, you see this clip of Harry Styles. He goes to sit down next to Chris Pine, but first hawks this giant loogie right on his lap. And you can see Chris Pine's reaction. He's just like, what the fuck? Did you just spit on me? It's some weird shit, man.
Okay, then. You heard it here first.
Totally off topic.
All right, guys. Well, you know, again, happy Star Trek Day. I want to move on to our first segment, which is a death battle. So let me cue this up real quick.
Get over here!
I will finish you! Flawless victory.
All right, flawless victory indeed. So today, boys, we're going to do a death battle with the captains of Star Trek. Are we ready?
Yeah, can I preface this, though?
Yeah.
Captain Benjamin Sisko cannot be involved in this from Deep Space Nine because he ends up being a god at the end of the show. So well, can we cut him out?
That's not fair. Yeah, that's not fair.
I know. Okay.
Well, and I mean, Picard becomes Borg at one point as well. So,
yeah, okay.
I guess Sisko was part of a star station, and that's a little unfair because that's able to fight off quite a large armada.
He's also he did have very to defiant,
but I think that was more that turned more into Worf's thing. So we will leave Sisko out. And who are we going to put in here that would keep it fair?
I think we can put them all.
Obviously,
in.
How about just all of the captains in the same type of Enterprise, just kind of pitted against each other in space? Because some of the ships are way more advanced than others, depending on the timeline that the show is in. I mean, well, at one point, Janeway turns into like her ship uses Borg technology and stuff and can like travel halfway across the galaxy. So some of them get a little nuts.
This goes out like right away because, I mean, does he even know how to fly a galaxy class starship? I mean, come on.
Oh, galaxy class, no, but he does have
He was one of the lead. I think he became admiral during the Dominion Wars. I mean, he's a good tactician.
Wouldn't be fair.
He's a good tactician. I don't know about just single ships, just him and a ship.
Yeah, but he did command the I'm drawing a blank on the name of the ship right now, but it was the first strictly war ship that Starfleet had made ever. What was that little tiny ship that he
Defiant.
It wasn't the Runabout. Defiant, there we go. The Defiant class ships.
I feel Picard wouldn't last very long just due to I don't think he's much of a starship like fighter. I mean, he tries to do more diplomatic things. I mean he's lost the ship a couple times.
Yeah,
they all have. I mean, Kirk's probably
Picard. Picard shows his fighting side in the movie First Contact when he wants to fuck up the Borg.
On the ground with the gun.
Right.
Where
he takes out the sphere or the cube. But that's because he still has Borg implants and he could tell where to shoot the Borg.
He's
able to take him
against
yeah.
the Borg. He just wants to fucking destroy them. He does not have any mercy against the Borg. But he's not fighting the Borg in this scenario. He's fighting other captains.
Yeah, but they're bloodlusted. They all pretty much think each other's are Borgs. So there's morals going on, or else none of them would shoot each other because that would be silly.
Well, Sisko, I think, would just bore everyone to death because that show is just so fucking boring. Janeway depends on if she has a fresh pot of black coffee. If she's freshly caffeinated, I think she does very well against the other captains. But if she's dogging it, if it's like lunchtime and it's been a few hours since she's had her last cup, I don't know. She might be at a disadvantage there.
I would have to put it with. I think it's in the end Janeway and Kirk.
Yeah,
I don't know if we start talking Archer,
Kirk's
putting
a huge
them all
wild
this-
card.
But if you're putting them all in the same ship, Jonathan Archer kicked a hell of a lot of ass with his Enterprise Warp 5 engines, piece of junk ship compared to the rest of the galaxy in his timeline. And now you're putting them in the same ship as everybody else?
But Archer, I think, would only last in as much until the first moment he sees a person transport away. He would be like, what the fuck? You use transporters on people?
And then yes, I know they use them on materials, but
yeah, he would just in Enterprise they don't transport people. That's like unheard of. But I agree. I think Kirk would be probably honestly. I don't support it, but I think Kirk might come out on top in the end because he's just ruthless. He's willing to kind of cheat to win in some ways. He's willing to do things that other more moral captains like Picard are just not willing to do. And Strange New Worlds actually touches on this and at the end of the first season, which Jeff, you need to watch the show.
I need to get the Paramount Plus and just dive into these. But yeah, I think it's down to Kirk and Janeway. Janeway is out of all of them the most experienced when it comes to fighting ship to ship, just because her whole show takes place of her trying to get back to the Alpha Quadrant and constantly fighting with hostile stuff for years and never losing her ship. That's a tall feat in itself.
But she does lose her ship a couple times, twice. Once it's a time loop, and the other it's because that Romulan the other Ridgehead people. What are their names? The people that built Deep Space Nine.
The Cardassians.
Cardassians.
Yeah, Cardassian. It was a Cardassian a spy that was on Voyager. She took it over when she aligned with one of the Delta Quadrant.
Something taken over internally in the ship. I mean, no one's in her ship. No one's in any of their ships. I think she might come out even on Kirk because she has a long track record of just not having her ship blow up. And Kirk loves blowing up his ships.
He does.
Favorite thing, but that also makes him a wild card because he's willing to do that where she's going to be more concerned about her ship and crew. Kirk's just going to be like, ah, fuck it. Here we go.
This is a hard one. Kirk or Janeway? I mean, obviously Kirk, original, I mean, badass. William Shatner. Are we talking William Shatner, Kirk?
We're talking.
I think we probably would have to talk young William Shatner, Kirk, because William Shatner has seen better days. I don't know if you've seen him lately. He's in his 90s.
Yeah, yes. He went to space.
He still looks damn good for his 90s. Yeah. But he wasn't the first of the Star Trek people to go to space. That will always be held by George Takei or Sulu.
So who's each one's winner?
I'm going with Janeway. I liked Voyager a lot more than I liked the original. So,
Tommy,
that's
I'm going to go, I would, so just to be devil's advocate here, I'm going to go with Kirk, but it's not going to be a moral victory. He's going to pull out, he's going to pull some shady shit at the end to come out on top because he's willing to do that. Kobayashi Maru, he fucking cheated just to get into Starfleet. So I'm going with Kirk, but I'm not happy about it.
And I'm going to put it at a stalemate right now because I just don't know between Kirk or Janeway. I do think it's down to those two, which I think we all agree, but you know, hopefully Eric puts this death battle on the SideQuest Instagram story, and we'd love to hear what you guys think. Either is it Kirk or is it Janeway? Who's coming out on top? All right, guys, so we're going to move on to our second quest here. And it is the villains and the aliens, the bad guys of Star Trek, going across all from the Klingons to the Romulans to the Borg to the Cardassians, the Dominion. Whose are your favorites? Why do you like them? Why do you hate them? Tommy, let's go with you first.
I love the Borg. Big fan of the Borg. Very fascinating species. If you're not a Star Trek fan, the Borg are, they're cyborgs. They're machines. But basically, they go around the galaxy and they just conquer. They're basically just the ultimate science fiction fascists. Like, they conquer entire planets and they assimilate them into their collective. And they have this hive mind where once you become a Borg, you're no longer an individual. You're connected to the hive mind and you get these implants and you have these machine parts and you can survive in the vacuum of space. And it's amazing. But you're also completely evil because you just go assimilate entire worlds, entire species. And he assimilated Captain Jean-Luc Picard, probably one of the biggest moments of in Borg history, and he managed to unassimilate himself, but he was always kind of affected by it. Like, it affected his decisions even later, even now in the new series Star Trek Picard. You can see how he's still kind of stuck. He can't get rid of those last remaining little nanobots inside his brain, taking over his psyche there. So, love the Borg. Definitely my favorite villains in all of Star Trek. And, Klingons are great. There's other, all the villains are good. They're all amazing.
But aren't Klingons really villains? Borg, they kind of go back and forth. They seem to be the Federation's biggest allies.
The Klingons are just brutes. They're brutes. Like, they're a very brutal race. And they're villains in original
they're
series.
Vikings.
And then, exactly.
They're orcs and then, fantasy. Yeah, they're...
In Next Generation, you have a Klingon, you have Worf, Klingon serving on the bridge, which is like a big statement on behalf of Gene Roddenberry. He's making this statement basically saying that, look, even the Klingons, we've been able to make peace even with the Klingons, which is a big testament to like the strength of the Federation and how strong this peacekeeping armada is that they're able to get the Klingons on board with their mission. So that was really cool to have Worf on there and just to see the progress of the relationship between the Klingons and the Federation. So gotta love the Klingons, but for me, the Borg are just the coolest.
Dave, what about you?
This is going to be a weird one, and it was supposed to be the main villain of Next Generation. Tommy, can you guess who I'm going to say?
Main villain of Next Generation?
It was supposed to be. Romulan? Yes. No, the Ferengi.
Oh, the Ferengi.
The Ferengi were supposed to be the main villain of Next Generation. And there's just something about how they mirror our current society that I like, where they're a profit-driven. They have the rules of profit, or what is it? The rules
commerce,
of capital, yeah. Commerce. And it just... They wound up being comedic relief. I know, Tommy, you said there was no comedic relief, but the Ferengi were comedic relief in Next Generation.
Deep Space Nine, they really dig into them more.
Yeah, it's just Deep Space Nine does dig into them a lot more, and it goes into their culture and whatnot. But they're not there to fight people unless it makes them profit, and their profit is gold pressed platinum.
That's sweet Latinum. And,
which is actually, if you go in to see, I'd recommend everybody going to check out how it's actually made. Not really, because it's pretty complicated. But it's, and it's fake. But I like the Ferengi. There's just something about their silly, gigantic ears. And I love Quark. So yeah. It's just a funny guy that goes
really
back and forth
as a character through the series.
Exactly. And I was just about to say that it goes back and forth from this the Ferengi culture to the Federation culture, and how the Ferengi will eventually integrate into the Federation culture. And that's kind of why I like the Ferengi. It's like that they didn't necessarily develop warp technology, which is their method of travel in the Star Trek universe, and they bought it essentially. And it's how I see if an alien race landed on Earth right now when we took their technology. Yeah, kind of how we would act with a such gigantic ears and eye ridges.
We are the Ferengi, basically.
They are
not to the
Star Trek's really unique when it comes to if you look at like Tolkien and high fantasy. Star Trek takes a bit of that with a lot of the races. You get the humans, which is us. You get the Ferengi, who are like, you know, the goblins and stuff, always just worried about their jewels and treasure. And then you get the elves, which are more like the Romulans. And then you get the, you know, the orcs and the brutes, which are the Klingons. It's really interesting to see kind of parallels between the two, which I always thought was...
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but you're right. Yeah, there's a lot of parallels there.
I mean, he could very well. I mean, a lot of people take Tolkien and incorporate a lot of his stuff into their stories and universes and stuff. But in terms of villain, for me, you know, I always liked the Romulans. I always thought they were cool. I liked how they had stealth ships. And they were, you know, they're more secluded. They're more xenophobic. They're more... spies, and they don't, you know, they really kind of just protect their own, and they don't like other people going into their space or, you know, knowing anything about them. They're a bit more mysterious that way, which I always enjoyed. And in Deep Space Nine, when they during the Dominion War, you learn a heck of a lot more about them, which I think is cool. But also another, you know, in Deep Space Nine, I know I keep bringing it up, and I know Tommy hates it, but Dave, you probably remember this one, where the Dominion War is happening, they're stuck on a planet, and Quark's there, one of the Ferengi, and he's talking to another alien, and they're like, well, it all work out, and he was freaking out they were going to die and stuff, and Quark said, we're not, because, and he's like, but their ship's down, and all we have is just some of these Federation soldiers, and he goes and he starts talking about the humans, how yes, when they have their luxurious ships and their holodecks and everything's peachy key, they're the nicest people in the world, but when they strip that down and it's war, he's like, they're the most terrifying of all the species. It was a really cool scene. Dave, I don't know if you remember that one. I'm trying to remember what episode that is, but
I'm remembering glimpses of it, but I can't remember the full thing. I did watch the entirety of Deep Space Nine, and that's just I remember that episode, but I don't remember details of that episode. So I'll have to apologize for not being able to contribute on that one. But yeah, Quark is always an insightful character. And I think that goes to show you the Ferengi is that they want to understand everything in order to make that profit. So I think they're a very insightful species.
I'd say, well, they're all interesting. And with Star Trek, it's very black and white with who's good, who's evil. Sometimes it kind of swings one way, it swings another way. I don't know who the bad guys are in the new shows. I don't know if they're the same species or they're different. But yeah, I mean, Star Trek has a super diverse, you know, a galaxy worth of enemies and allies to defeat enemies and then become enemies again, which I always enjoy about it. And then that'll leave us to our last segment and our last topic of the day. We're going to do a little bit of retro movies. So let me get that set up here real quick.
Bond. James Bond.
I'll be back.
You shall not pass!
Use the Force, Luke.
All right, use the Force, Luke, indeed. All right, so we're going to talk a little retro movie. Now, I don't have one specifically since it is Star Trek Day and we got two huge Star Trek nerds on with us. But I want to talk about some of the old Star Trek movies, from First Contact to Wrath of Khan to the second Chris Pine movie and then the original Star Trek. So if you guys want to start off with some of your favorites and some of your most hated and why. Dave, you want to start us off there?
Yeah, so the first Star Trek movie I remember watching was the Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. And I apologize if I reverse them, but I just remember them trying to save a humpback whale against a cylinder alien. And
it was great. I watched that so much as a kid.
It was so stupid. I'm sorry, but it wasn't a good one. And my dad has always said that it's always the odd number Star Trek movies that are the best.
The Voyager.
So yeah, the Wrath of Khan is great, which is, or sorry, even
yeah.
Numbers. Yeah, even numbers. Even though Star Trek The Voyage Home was 4, I just, you know, it's, when did that one come out? 1986, so that was the year we were born. All three of us were born that year. It was silly. It was still a good movie. The Search for Spock was, okay, whatever. Wrath of Khan was a good movie. I enjoyed that. And of course, you got the iconic Captain Kirk going, Khan! But it's something else. And then the Next Generation movies. First Contact, I thought, was pretty good. Insurrection was weird. Nemesis was okay. And of course, I've loved all the Chris Pine movies, Beyond, Into Darkness, the Star Trek. I think they've all been pretty good. And of course, we can go into detail on each one, but I don't want to take up the next 5 hours, so I'll bow out to Tommy. But my favorite it has to be Star Trek First Contact. There's just something about the Borg and Picard that it's just enjoyable. Yeah.
Tommy?
Sorry, I was sleeping. You were talking about Deep Space Nine so much, I fell asleep. What are you talking about? Movies?
Oh, yeah.
My favorites are the first two of both, respectively, the original series and TNG. So, Star Trek the Motion Picture gets a lot of shit for being just kind of boring and not.
Well, it was supposed to be
not a good
against
movie.
Kubrick's Space Odyssey.
But, right. But if you put that film in context and imagine, if you will, that you are a Star Trek fan, like a diehard Star Trek fan in the 1980s, I think it came out in the 80s, right? Early 80s, but still the 80s. And you're watching.
79.
Oh, 79. So almost the 80s. You're watching Captain Kirk, the original cast, the USS Enterprise on the big screen. Like, just imagine what an incredible thrill that was. And that movie really does a good job just kind of putting the scope of all that. Just, it's amazing. What I remember most is the scene when Kirk first sees the refitted USS Enterprise. They spend, it's like 10 minutes long. It's so fucking long. But they're just gazing at this amazing ship. And there's all this new detail, and it looks so cool, and it's just this huge upgrade from the original, you know, boxy-looking, goofy Enterprise that was made out of tin cans in the 1960s, you know. So that was really cool. And then, you know, the plot of the film is honestly kind of boring. It's not anything to remember. They have V'ger and all that. And it's just, it could have fit into just a single hour-long episode, and they just drew it out for this whole two-hour movie. But still, in context, very cool. And then you have Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, which is they bring back a classic villain from the original series, which was a pretty bold move because, again, Star Trek, the original series, was kind of a cult classic back then. It wasn't like this huge show that tons of people watched. It was gaining traction, but still, it was a bold choice for them to bring back this villain from the original series. And Ricardo Montalban, amazing actor. Khan.
Yeah, but who played Khan in real life?
Ricardo Montalban.
And it's amazing that he actually came back to play.
Yeah, it was a huge thing back then. There's, you know, a Latino guy playing an Indian guy, but whatever. Nobody cared back then. No, there wasn't a big focus on accuracy.
He was
back
a genetically modified creature.
Right, and then he was played by a British guy in the 2000s, which made tons of sense. But anyway, we're getting off track here. But that was an amazing film, of course. And then, again, another film that I think is totally underrated as far as Star Trek movies goes is Generations, because you get to see Picard and Kirk on the same screen. Like, they're together. Star Trek fans never dreamed of this happening, and they wrote this movie to where, you know, they meet in this futuristic, what's it called? The Nexus, this alternate universe, and it's Picard. It's Captain Picard and Captain Kirk, and you get to see them. That whole movie, it's a little on the boring side. The plot is not the best, but just the scenes where you get to see Picard interacting with Kirk, talking about being the captain of the Enterprise, and Kirk is giving him this advice. And my favorite line is he just looks at him and he goes, don't leave the bridge of that ship. Don't let him promote you. Don't do it, because as long as you're captain of the Enterprise, you can make a difference. And it's just so cool to see them interacting together. So that's amazing. And then probably my all-time favorite is First Contact, which was the next film in the Next Generation series, because it's the Borg. They take over the Enterprise. You get to see this huge new Enterprise. You get to see Picard kick some ass, you know, which you rarely got to see in TNG, because he was always kind of passive and peaceful and diplomatic. But you get to see him really just be ruthless and fuck up some Borg, and it's just really, really a good movie. So yeah, those are my favorites. That was a long list.
No.
So just to have a little side note on this one, Tommy, when you got married, 10 years ago now? So you just celebrated your 10 years. For everybody that was in your wedding, you gave t-shirts to us. And mine was Picard and Kirk sitting next to each other on a log from that movie.
No way. I don't remember that. I would love. I would love a shirt like that.
And I wore out my Stormtrooper one. Too much.
That's amazing. I had good taste in shirts. I wish I had those shirts.
Well, you can still buy them. I think I'm sure you can get on there. But echoing both of you. I mean, I won't get into it too much because you guys really nailed it on the head with most of those movies, but I do just like the three of you, First Contact. I don't know why that still to this day is the best. I'm not sure if it's just because of the acting, the just having a movie about the Borg. Maybe they're just that fascinating. It taking place half on the ship, half on Earth. Picard's awesome. He has his, Tommy and I, we reenact the scene constantly through text or just.
Line must be drawn here.
Now, no further.
He just breaks the glass. He's like, no!
Yeah, it's such a good movie. And just, you know, the friendship with Picard and Data, and which was always echoed in the original TNG, and how, you know, his whole journey to become as human as possible. And in this one, he actually gets very close to it because of the Borg Queen just putting all these bizarre implants on him, but then in the end snapping out of it, and the two of them kind of save the day, which they did a lot in the original. I mean, having an android that can do a lot of the things that he can do is a pretty good sidekick. What's her face? Getting drunk at the bar was fun. The counselor Troy. She gets drunk at the bar.
The Zefram Cochran makes her drink.
Yeah. All the Zefram Cochran scenes, all the stuff. Geordi's cool eyes that he got. He doesn't have to wear the thing around his head. And, you know, Worf being
and your favorite.
And
was the doofus guy, the goofy guy. He makes an appearance, and he's all fanboying over Zefram Cocker, and he's like, I can't believe I get to meet you, the inventor of warp drive. And Geordi's like, calm the fuck down. Sit. You're embarrassing.
It's just such... It's just like the perfect Star Trek movie. It had a little bit of everything. And if none of...
Are we saying that we all agree that First Contact was the best one?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, probably.
Okay. I think it's generally... even online or on ratings and stuff on different websites, it's within the one or two spot still always.
I always watch a Star Trek movie on First Contact Day in April just to, you know, do my own little celebration as a Star Trek fan. And that's honestly, that's usually the one I go with.
Yeah. It's a good movie. You can watch once a year. It's some of those movies you can just watch once a year and it's always going to be great.
Yeah.
But all right, boys, I think we should wrap it up here. We're almost out of time. This was a lot of fun. A lot of, you know, for any Star Trek nerds, if you're not a Star Trek nerd, sorry if we
blew. Oh my God, if you're not into Star Trek, you are just you.
You
turned on Pandora out. 30 minutes ago. You switched over to Pandora.
Yeah, but for those of you who like Star Trek, agree or disagree with us, let us know. Tommy, we want to give a little plug out to him and his Instagram. If you guys haven't seen it, it's very funny. I check it daily. And he's also hosting this month as well. Tommy, go ahead and plug your stuff if you want.
I'll be at Zany's this Saturday, opening for Eric D'Alessandro. I'll be there Tuesday the 13th and Wednesday the 21st. Also featuring on Tuesday, hosting on Wednesday. So yeah, it's some upcoming dates. And then yeah, follow me on Instagram, Angry Gym Teacher. My shit's been blowing up, going viral a couple times. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah,
give me a follow. Is this Zany's Chicago or Zany's Rosemont?
Zany's Chicago. Yeah, Zany's Chicago, Old Town. The original Zany's, very fun. If you're in Chicago, you got to check it out. It's like, it's a super old comedy club, very old school. Jeff's been there a few times. Small but very. It's like a magical presence
cool,
in there.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a much, you know, more intimate setting. Everyone's kind of close by. It's it's very cool. Highly recommend it. And it's just famous worldwide. I mean, it's
everybody's from there.
Every greatest comedian has been there, from Farley to Seinfeld to everyone. Cosby, is he still considered a good comedian? I don't know. Say that
I think they took his pictures down, Jeff.
Did they really?
I don't think Cosby's up there anymore. There's just some blank 8x10 spots on the wall. That's you know, Cosby used to be there.
Dave, you want to just have to take his place? Your Xbox gamer tag or
no?
Your max level in Fortnite?
Oh no! I think I'm good, but. Tommy, I've been there too. I'm a little pissed. I've been there too, Tommy.
Oh yeah, Dave, you were there. You came to see me a couple months ago. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Of course, I remember.
So who are you open for again this weekend?
Eric D'Alessandro. He's a famous TikTok YouTube guy. Yeah, that's all. They're all the rage now. Everything.
Oh, I'm not sure what TikTok is, and I'm not sure what Instagram is, but
YouTube. But, he's very famous on YouTube. Very funny. Guy.
YouTube. Okay, I know what the YouTube is. So
okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to take a look.
All right, so we gotta close this out, and no better way than doing some famous Star Trek quotes. Dave, you had already originally tried doing the con one. I think you should do that.
No. I'm just
maybe
gonna
we
go
should all do it at the same time. Maybe we should all just yell con.
Works for me.
So we'll start with one, and then the next goes, and as they're petering out, the final goes.
All right, but let's try to harmonize it so everyone do it at a different pitch.
Okay.
All right, I'll start. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Con. Con. Really, that was terrible.
Dave, do it again. You cut out. You were so loud.
You jumped up like nine pitches. Go to the next.
How close to the mic are you?
Okay. No, not working at all.
Like a dog whistle. We can't hear it.
All right. Well, engage, guys. Engage. It's good talking. We'll see you all soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.